Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. Here we are. We are actually in the mobile studio this week. I am traveling around, continuing our programs around, looking at innovations happening in non-traditional industries in maybe some of the not obvious locations. This week, we're actually going to be addressing a question that has come up from a number of listeners, and that is around innovation within services businesses. Now, my background is more product-related, having spent 10 years at HP, and even in my current role as it is today. But a number of you have been asking about, what does that role look like, or what does the role of innovation play in a services-focused kind of industry and businesses? So today's guest is someone who actually has a responsibility for innovation in a services-type focus, and I bring him on specifically to share with us his perspective, his expertise, and some of the differences between product focus and services focus. So today's guest, Michael Whitaker, as everybody calls him, is Whit, is joining us today. I guess, where are you today? Are you at your home, or are you on the road again?
I'm at my home in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, so it's actually quite funny because, you know, Whit and I both live in Colorado. He happens to be in Colorado, which is also a little bit unique because he travels a fair amount, and I happen to be in Florida. We weren't able to make it work for him to come in and be in the studio live. We've had him joining remote using Zoom from Boulder, so... So, Whit, give us a little bit of background on yourself and the company that you're with right now.
Sure. I'm with ICF, which is a professional technology and marketing services company that operates globally and really works to combine deep domain expertise with cutting-edge engagement capabilities to work with public and private sector organizations to solve really their most important and most complex problems. So we really try and bring a non-traditional consulting approach to the table in doing that. And my role is particularly, I'm vice president of emerging solutions. And I chose in that role, as I developed it over the last few years, not to put innovation in the title of the role, because I think it's a difficult, vague, and ambiguous term, particularly in the context of a professional services company. And so really decided to focus that role on how do we develop new solutions, both on our own and in combination with our clients through a co-creation development process in order to keep moving forward the outcomes that we can deliver for them. And so that's really the role that I've been asked to take on.
Well, and I think your point about not putting innovation in your title is one that I'm a big advocate for, because I made the mistake myself when I started the innovation program office at HP. And even in my current role, leadership team was creating a new organization that was focusing on supporting and encouraging innovation, and they put the word innovation in their title. I advised them against it. They did it anyways, and you end up with all kinds of antibody reactions. People kind of misinterpret, what does that really mean?
A little bit of why does that person get to focus on innovation where I have to focus on execution? I'm held to a different standard. And really, in a professional services company where margins tend to be lower and you don't have a separate R&D budget, you're always fighting for controllables. execution and the performance engine that the company runs off of is always going to be primary. And innovation really plays a role in continuing to tune that performance engine and make sure it's operating efficiently, and also make sure that you have a performance engine that's prepared for the business of the future and not simply what clients are asking for now. And so it's more of a supporting and integrated role within a professional services organization than it is something that can be walled off in a lab or with a separate team or in different roles. It's fundamentally a different approach to how you deliver it at scale and in a sustainable way.
Yeah, I mean, it plays into the whole role of, it's not just allocated to a small set of team, but you really want innovation coming from everybody.
It is. And what's really interesting, I think, is that execution and innovation are fundamentally different skill sets and mindsets. And the vast majority of employees throughout their entire careers have been incentivized and trained for execution, not for innovation. And if you actually want to infuse innovation into the day-to-day operations of a professional services company and you want to make it relevant to the everyday jobs of your employees, you have to give them clear and believable pathways to contribute to innovation and make it something that isn't, in addition to duties as assigned, 40-plus heroic efforts. If you have time, if you can wall off a little bit of 30 minutes here or there in your week, it simply doesn't happen that way. And so you have to have an intentional way to build it into the work you do every day, and also give different types of employees ways to engage in innovation. So a technology specialist doesn't have to become a design thinking facilitator. They need to be given the responsibility to scan the market, scan emerging technologies, understand the current process that we use, what emerging technologies may bring a new value delivery architecture to that process, and then work with their program managers and with their clients to see how do we integrate that into the work we're doing to do it better, faster, cheaper, to let go of things that are becoming less relevant and are simply wasting resources, and look at ways to deliver more transformational outcomes going forward.
So how big is ICF? Give us a sense of scale here.
Yeah, ICF's about 5,000 employees, a little over 5,000, $1.2 billion in revenue. We operate in 70 countries, I believe it is, at least 60 countries. So we're all over the world. We're about half public sector, or half private sector in our work overall.
So, yeah. So this is not a, you know, five-person
this
new
is not
startup.
A mom and pop shop.
Yeah, this is not a – and yeah, I wanted to give people an understanding for that scale, because it is important, because a lot of people have this perception of – Trying to expand innovation capability in a services firm has its own unique challenges. And then you throw scale on top of it, of how do you bring that size and scale of an organization to buy into your overall strategy.
And I think one of the ways we've done that is we started building this innovation program within one of our operating groups. So we have four major operating groups. So we chose a particular area to incubate the program. We did some surveys looking at our culture of innovation. Where were we strong? Where were we weak across 21 different metrics? We're really looking at subsets of the employee base. So what tenure of employee, what career track, whether they are in the office or remote, where were we strong or weak in the things that we felt were foundational to that culture of innovation? And then we looked at one of the ways we were weak was we didn't have a common language for innovation. We didn't have a way to talk about it, even within our 5,000 person company, in a consistent way to differentiate different types of innovation, those incremental innovations that keep your performance engine going versus more transformational innovations that are really fundamentally rethinking how value is delivered. In those transformational innovations, those tend to be enabled by new technologies or disruptive technologies, but in a services capability, they're not the technology itself, because we're not inventing new products. So we're rethinking how value and outcome can be delivered to the market using new technologies, new capabilities, shifting market preferences, changing consumer mindsets. And we relook at that value architecture and say, where are we now? Where do we need to go? What do we need to forget from the past? What are our chains, basically? What do we do only because we've always done it? And what can be broken to free up these pathways to go after more transformational outcome? And then what are the roots? What nourishes our current business and will nourish our future business? And we really need to protect those in any kind of a change environment to make sure we don't introduce unacceptable levels of risk. And one of the ways that we've addressed doing this at scale is we've actually elevated innovation management to a core project delivery discipline. So for 30 years, 40 years, we've been doing quality management and risk management. We're going to do good work on time and on budget. We're going to anticipate risks, and we're going to figure out ways to mitigate those risks. And what we've added to that is innovation management. And we're saying, in order to deliver value for money over time with emerging technologies, with changing customer preferences, with market shifting, we actually have to actively manage for innovation as part of our normal project work. We have to be constantly looking at ways to incrementally do things better, to let go of things that are losing value, and what's coming around the corner so we can start to plot a pathway to a more transformational outcome. And that needs to be done as part of our core project management process if we have time, or in addition to duties as assigned, or as a special side conversation with the client. It really needs to be on a regular cadence, setting aside dedicated time and space to have those conversations. And to really, and this is very important in a services context, you have to create the permission, time, and resources to step back from the day-to-day fire drills of execution to have those conversations that look more holistically at opportunities for improvement.
Yeah, and I think that's an important part, right? And it's not just unique to services, it's also a product, right? It's the 40-plus heroic effort, as you described before, versus taking a step back and really taking that hard look at yourself, at what it is you're working on, how best to bring that forward. And I like your point about what is it you have to forget, because most organizations are not conscious about that effort of what it is you actually need to forget. So stay right there. We're going to come right back after this short commercial break, continue our conversation with Whit on innovation in the services business. We'll be right back. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Kill Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630. National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We are continuing our conversation with regards to innovation, specifically in the services sectors of the businesses. We have Whit here with us as our guest today. Now, Whit, you came into ICF through an acquisition. You were with a company that ICF actually acquired. Give us a little bit of background on that.
Yeah, so I did a PhD in sustainable urban infrastructure development, really looked at the developing world and the developed world and how the life cycle impacts of mass transit systems and building systems and water and wastewater systems. So I come from a very quantitative analysis background, and I built a company called Symbiotic Engineering that was really focused on quantifying urban sustainability. And we ran that for 5 or 6 years. And ICF acquired the company because we had some really cutting edge analytics that were focused on how can utilities better engage their customers in their programs? How can they recruit customers for energy efficiency programs? How can they get a better return to the utility from their investment in that program and make sure that they're also recruiting customers that would benefit from that program? We were a great strategic fit for ICF. ICF's the largest outsourcer of utility energy efficiency programs in the U.S. They design, build, and implement those programs. And so we were a strategic acquisition for ICF, but we were very small. We were 9 people when we were acquired. So we were a 9-person company that went into a 5,000-plus person organization. And what I did when I got into ICF, I embraced the opportunity to be part of a bigger global company and what that unlocked. As a 9-person startup, we can only touch so many customers. We can only touch so many domains. And while I continued with the business for a couple years within ICF, I then looked for ways to expand the way that I could bring the skill sets and the mindset that I try and brought to a startup culture into ICF across different domains that ICF serves. So I went and co-led our analytics group, Information Insights, that really does data engineering, data science, and data visualization across domains. Did that for a year. And then I talked to my group leader, Ellen Glover, who's been a visionary leader in the IT space, particularly the federal IT space, for many years, and said, look, the pace of change of technology is accelerating. And as a professional services company, we can't take innovation as an ad hoc, thousand flowers bloom, opportunistic approach. We need to be much more systematic. We need to be more mature in the way that we approach it in order to be able to not only deliver innovations, but also lead our clients in thinking about what innovations they have to bring to the table and how they're going to get from what they're currently doing to where they need to go in a way that doesn't introduce unacceptable risk and doesn't take their performance engine off the track, which is critical to a lot of our clients. They're not high-risk clients. They're not willing or able to swing for the fences and crash and burn. They have to be very systematic about how they go after a transformational future. And we need to have a parallel process that really balances the tension between execution and innovation. And we need to acknowledge that that tension exists, and we need to put that very forward in any kind of an innovation initiative that we're doing, and not have it just be simply a pie in the sky aspirational approach to innovation.
Yeah, I think it also plays into, though, that you're kind of doing this balancing act between innovating inside of ICF. How do you make ICF better in its service offerings and how it operates? And at the same time, you're almost offering innovation as a service to your clients. That's kind of an interesting balance.
It is, and we've really done a lot of thinking about how best to do that. And it's not about, we're not competing with the innovation design firms of the world where we're saying we're going to put innovation forward as the primary offering. We're going to look at the outcome that the client needs to achieve and understand what are the mega trends, political, economic, social, and technology mega trends that are going to be introducing opportunities or risks to those clients. And at a very human level, what keeps them up at night and what do they aspire to and what will make them more successful in their jobs? And then let's look at where you are now and where you want to go and what are the innovations that need to happen to bridge that gap? And then how do we build a very pragmatic foundation and a scaffolding so that the performance engine is protected as long as it needs to be protected until you can transition over to that new outcome or that new value delivery architecture that you're pursuing. And in doing that, we really need to balance the tension between pioneers and guardians, both within the organization and within ICF and within the client organization, and make sure that both voices are involved in the innovation conversations. Guardians get a bad rap as protectors of the status quo. Right. But really what they do is they're protectors of the performance engine. And if your performance engine is on fire, you can't innovate. You can't do anything else unless your day-to-day fire drills of execution are taken care of. And so we want to make sure both voices are at the table, particularly so that if there is a transformational outcome developed, it ultimately needs to go back into the performance engine and be adopted by the guardians and be infused into the culture and the norms and the operating environment of the organization if it's ever going to be done at scale and really deliver the value. If it never gets out of the pilot phase or the back interesting phase, then you never get the true return on investment out of that innovation. And the guardians are critical to the reintegration of a developed innovation back into the company or back into the client organization.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. But what I'm also hearing, like, for instance, I was just at the Pentagon last week, and then a month or so ago, I got invited to the VA to talk about innovation. Because it seems like, and you do a lot, your ICF's involved in a lot of government work. I have some background in doing government, you know, work. Is the level of interest, for instance, in the government when you're seeing these RFPs, and then they want to understand innovation and innovation value. Are you seeing it coming up as a topic rather than it just being an extra add-on, but actually part of the conversation now with clients?
I'm seeing it as a line item in most RFPs. It's being discussed. At least the word innovation is in there. I think it is still a fairly vague and ambiguous term as in terms of how do you actually do it within the confines of a program. One of the things that we've started to do both internally and with clients are what we call spark sessions. So we've talked about the need to pull back from the day-to-day fire drills of execution. You really can't talk about innovation in an extra 30 minutes here, or an hour there, or you know, when time allows, in addition to your other duties. You actually need to create a dedicated time and space. So we'll take half a day to a day, and we'll pull the key project team members with all the different personalities into a separate space, and we'll run through these spark sessions that are really designed to get teams unstuck. And so it's not an innovation workshop per se. It's allowing you to get to a deeper level. You have ideas about what needs to be done. You have these high-level concepts about opportunities for improvement. And the spark sessions are designed to take a high-level concept and really identify your priority action areas and really what we call value hypotheses that can be tested with incremental changes to see if there really is merit there and worthy of further investment.
Yeah, exactly. And I think your starting off point about it's this vague term that many of them don't understand. and giving them permission just to pause and to look at the opportunity or problems or challenges they're facing in a completely different kind of context than just the traditional, you know, fire drill. So don't go anywhere. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation with Lynn. We'll be right back after this break.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're here talking about innovation within the services industry. Whit has been sharing with us his experiences and the work he's been doing at ICF. So, Whit, one of the questions I have is with regards to innovation inside of any organization about how do you make it sustainable? How do you make it self-sustaining over an extended period of time? Because anybody can get an organization all leathered up and, you know, somebody read a book and you kind of get this peak trough thing going and everybody does it, but it's hard to keep maintaining it over time. How do you deal with that at ICF?
You know, it is a very real challenge. It's very easy for executives to say, we want to innovate, go forth and innovate. Several years ago at ICF, we actually had an officers meeting where we brought in a speaker on innovation and we're trying to compel the officers to actually deliver it. And what we realized coming out of it is there wasn't enough information in that high-level mandate in order to make it actionable for our employees and actually give them a clear and believable pathways, which is part of what spurred us to form this position that was focused on emerging solutions and really trying to be systematic about how do we build a sustainable culture of innovation. And as I mentioned to you during one of the breaks, I've taken a pragmatic agitation approach. I think it's really important within a services organization to understand where you can poke, where you can push, and what are the very real constraints that are more difficult to break and will either take more time to change or maybe fundamentally can't be changed because they're core to the performance engine of the organization. And so you need to find ways around them or to build capabilities in parallel to those constraints. And so we've looked at incentives, business structure, processes, and training. And training is a really important part of this. We mentioned earlier that execution and innovation are different skill sets, and most employees have never been trained for innovation. And so we're actually building multiple levels of training programs within the organization to try and actually build those skill sets. So we have a general innovation at ICF training that's simply, what's the language we use? How do we talk about innovation? How is it related to our brand? Have video testimonies of different types of employees speaking about how they've infused innovation into their projects so that people can hear real stories from their peers about how does innovation manifest within a services organization. We then have a level two training, which is, how do you have an innovation conversation with your project team and with your client? How do you actually have a conversation that isn't execution-based, but looks at mega trends, looks at these larger risks and opportunities that are coming, and create a time and space to do that well in a way that really is focused on outcomes? And then we're also training a smaller subset of employees to facilitate these spark sessions. So let's build capacity throughout the organization with subject matter expertise, because when we do these spark sessions, we don't want it to just be a facilitator. We want it to be a facilitator that also brings deep domain expertise so they can bring insights to the table that are different than the project team may see on a day-to-day basis, and they can test their thinking and then use that to drive both the client and the project team forward towards more innovative solutions. And then we're doing a lot of direct coaching of our emerging managers and our emerging leaders and our new officers, where we're giving them innovation challenges around disruptive technologies and challenging them to think about fundamentally how will this affect the value chain that you're delivering to the client and to the market, and how will you need to evolve your services to react to that going forward. So it's really a multi-level skill building process.
So So do you offer that same training then to your clients?
We've started to do some of that, particularly around the coaching side. We actually have a fairly large organizational research, learning, and performance team. So ICF as a company does a lot of organizational change management. How do you build new capabilities? And we're doing actually some in the Department of Defense where we're working with units where the commanders want to infuse more innovation and have had challenges of how do we talk about this within an organization? How do we differentiate between incremental change and more transformational change? How do we respect the old guard ways of doing things while also pushing for change? And so we've been helping clients like that understand how do you build a learning and performance program in an organization that will support it over time. And there's a pretty good book that came out recently that the audience may enjoy, Influencer, New Science for Leading Change. And it really talks about going to change an organization, it's elements you have to look at. And it's personal motivation, personal ability, social motivation, social ability, structural motivation, and structural ability. So you have to get a person to want to change. You also have to give them the skills to behave differently. And that's where we're really, with the training, we're building the skills, the motivation, we have incentives, we have pathways. Social ability is really, do you have a support network around them where if they don't know how to do the change, if they need extra help on a project, is there somebody that they can go to? Is that person available? Or is everybody heads down with execution demands and there's nobody to help? So we've, as a company, we've built this support structure. And then the structural ability is really, does the organization promote the behavior that it wants, or does it find ways to restrict the behavior, either consciously or unconsciously, where there's these motivations or deterrents within the organization that may either promote the behavior that the organization really wants or really squash it? And that's the, and organizations really need to look deeply within themselves and understand, are they supporting all six elements of change, or do they have weaknesses in there? And if they have weaknesses, how do they build programs to address those weaknesses?
Right, exactly. And then we started off this segment really talking about this whole issue of sustainability. And how do you at ICF, have you looked at things like metrics and measurements? You know, what constitutes goodness? What constitutes objectives maybe on an ongoing basis? Does the organization have an innovation objective?
Yeah, so we do a culture of innovation survey, and we do that annually. So we're looking, we actually track the change in metrics over time. And we've seen anywhere in the first year, we saw anywhere from a 4 to 7% increase in individual scores on the metrics. And more importantly, we did a net positive index where we looked at those that had a positive perception of these building blocks of a culture of innovation versus more of a detracting perception of that. And we saw a much larger increase in the percentage of net promoters versus, or net, you know, net positive perception versus net negative perception on our culture of innovation, which is important for recruitment, it's important for retention. It's important that employees generally come into an organization very enthused and optimistic about the ability to innovate. And in the services organization, they then get buried and beat down by day-to-day execution, and they go into this valley of despair. Yeah. And you have to give them pathways out of the valley of despair to feel like they have a real believable pathways to continue to grow their capabilities and to contribute to innovation. So we've been very intentional about building programs at ICF that really engage that 1 to 5 year employee, early career, super valuable to the organization, and has emerging skill set to make sure that they don't get lost in the demands of execution and lose their ability to contribute to the overall organizational goal of innovation. What we're doing now is we're really focusing on a couple of vital behaviors in innovation, which is having more innovation conversations, setting aside dedicated time and space within regular project management activities to have conversations that go beyond execution. Look at what do we need to forget? What do we need to let go of? What are our incremental opportunities for change? Really disrupting our own process before it gets disrupted externally. And then also getting better at innovation storytelling. So a lot of services organizations do more innovation than they give themselves credit for, but they're terrible at telling the story of the innovation. Mm-hmm. They don't couch the work that they do in terms of disruptiveness, risk and novelty, transferability and scalability, and ultimately the overall benefit. We instituted an awards program that's really focused on career building recognition more so than monetary benefits. And we did that in part to get our employees to tell the story of the innovations that they were doing, co-creating with our clients. So we really focused on project-based innovation and where they've worked with clients to bring new ideas to the table and execute those well at scale. And then we're using the Innovation Awards program to surface those stories. We're a very diverse business. We work in energy, transportation, aviation, international development, public health. And so we have all these different domains, but a lot of the fundamental underlying innovations can be applicable across domains. But the stories never get told unless you build a vehicle for those stories to be told and you incentivize your employees to do it and you start to train them in better storytelling. Storytelling is a skill.
Right.
It's a capability that, particularly in a deep domain expertise company that tends to have introverts versus extroverts that really love the knowledge, and a lot of services firms have this. They are very capable experts, but they're not great at telling the story of.
So, hey, as we wrap up here in this segment, we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, hey, Whit, I would like for you to do is come back with a couple of suggestions for those of our listeners who are focused on services sector about what your advice based on your lessons learned to date. So when we come back, Whit's going to share with us some takeaways for those of you in the services sector, and we'll be right back.
Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Kill Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes. a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. Whit, as we were leaving the last segment, I asked you to come up with a couple of recommendations for those of our listeners who are focused in the services sector as to what advice would you give them based on what you learned through your experience at ICF. So I'm going to hand it off to you.
So I have a few recommendations for those considering how to infuse innovation into their organization. One, and this is really highlighted in that influencer book as well, is that you need to identify a couple of vital behaviors that you want to push early to start the momentum for change. So you can't change 5, 10, 20 things at once. You need to pick one or two things that are very tangible that you can develop a focused and measurable goal around that will then lead to cascading benefits. So I mentioned that what we're doing is we're really driving these innovation conversations and better innovation storytelling right now. So those are the two vital behaviors in the first half of this year that we're really focused on increasing in our poise. And part of the reason we're doing that is we mentioned that innovation is a skill that needs to be developed, and that takes what's called deliberate practice. And it's this concept where it's not about an ad hoc, I'll just kind of do it and see how it goes, but it's really being intentional about how do you form the conversation? How do you think about mega trends? How do you apply it to your work? And the only way you get better at that is by doing it. And so what we're trying to encourage as a vital behavior is getting more of our employees to experience the behavior of an innovation conversation with their project teams and with their clients so that they build those skills and they continue to extend the skills. And then that propagates out into the work that we're doing. So it's a way to build that sustainably. Another thing that I would recommend is think about how you build your innovation culture from the middle. Ultimately, your innovation culture will live or die with your managers. The top-down executives can say all they want about innovation. Your bottom-up employees can be enthusiastic, but it's those managers that manage teams and manage client relationships that either will infuse innovation into the way that they're working as part of their project delivery discipline, or they won't. And if they don't, it will die because it will never sustain as something that is only done in addition to their standard duties or seen as a side thing, but really this other execution mandate is more important. And I'll get to that at some other time. It will never happen, will never happen at scale, and it will fundamentally die. So those are the things. And the third thing I would say is figure out what's a reasonable investment for your organization in innovation. and start with something that is reasonable. I think too many organizations, particularly services organizations, they overreach. They go for the development of an innovation team or a lab, and then it puts a big on the back of the innovation initiatives because it's cutting into margins and it's hard to show initial return on investment. I think one of the things we did well is the initial investment was essentially my position, at which point I then went out and was able to build the support from the middle and really build an incremental program that didn't overreach in terms of our financial commitment. But what it also did is it gave that social support to other innovators within the company saying, one, management cares. We've been able to dedicate a position around it. We're ready to invest. And two, I have somebody to go to if I have a question, if I have a need, if I need to think about how to talk about innovation with my client. But more importantly, what I've done a lot of is our client managers won't necessarily have that experience doing the conversation. They'll bring me in and we'll have a conversation together with our client to really look at what are the opportunities for innovation, whether it's through a Spark session or a side conversation. So we've given our managers a resource that they can tap that makes it so that they don't have to do it all themselves and figure out their own path, but they're getting that support. But we're doing it with a very reasonable investment where we're trying to build capacity for them and unlock. Most employees want to innovate. Innovation is more fun than execution. They want to innovate, but they need the pathway, the permission, the resources, the time and space to do it. And so we've really tried to, as an organization, figure out how do you do that while not disrupting the performance engine and getting to the point where you're introducing unacceptable risks or threatening your financial viability. And I think that strategy really applies public or private sector to organizations that are providing professional services or providing citizen services. When you look at government agencies and you're simply trying to get more return out of your employees. And it really is empowering to employees if you do it well. If you can build them clear and believable pathways to make a contribution that is relevant to what they do every day, how can their career, how can their passion, how can their work help meet your overall organizational mission for innovation? It's much more accessible than if you simply have some walled off innovation lab or team that feels distant. And it's too easy for employees at that point to say, innovation's their job. I'm just going to execute and I'm going to keep my head down and I'm going to let them take care of it. We're really pushing the mandate out to the employee base. And I would really encourage services organizations to figure out within the context of your organization, your culture, how can you do that?
Ryan, I think your point around don't overreach, don't overinvest, be realistic about what you can invest. And I think your strategy on crafting your role as that support resource to those teams where you can show some early success allows you to get that sustainable traction then.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really important with that role that it is established in a way where that person has the ability to, one, be responsive so that that role can't be so overburdened with execution responsibilities that when somebody asks for help, they're not available. And so that's fundamentally, that's what I would encourage services organizations to think about is how do you provide the personal motivation, the personal training and ability, but then that social support so that they're not doing it alone and you really empower them to take that action going forward.
Exactly. So, hey, Whit, thanks a lot for giving us this time today. If people want to follow what you're up to, where's the best place for them to connect?
So I'm on Twitter at Papa_Whit, PAPA_WHIT. I'm on LinkedIn, Michael Whitaker, ICF, and you can look me up on there. And I also welcome emails from any of the listeners. I love to engage with the community that's really trying to push this. It's michael.whitaker@icf.com, and I'm sure we can put it up on the show notes page. But I would more than welcome conversations with anybody that really wants to talk about how do you do this within the organization? How have we done it within government, federal government, state government, and commercial organizations? Because we've been able to help clients in all three spaces, and I'd love to have a conversation around that with listeners.
And just to put another plug in, Whit is part of the Innovators community. So if you're part of the Innovators community, you can connect with him over on the Slack channel there and reach out and have a great conversation. With that, we're going to wrap up today's show. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. If you've got a guest who you think would be a great guest to be on the show, drop me a note, phil@killerinnovations.com. And with that, we're going to sign off. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.